The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, this is Terry Raposa. You're listening to Jefferson State of Mind on KCNR 1460, your AM station, 96.5, your FM station, where the music does sound better. And I am here with Ashley, our producer. How are you, Ashley?
Good. I put hot cocoa mix in my coffee this morning, so it's a good morning.
I'm not going to ask you what annual day this is.
I actually have not looked it up. I know yesterday was like cheese puff day and raw noodle, like the ramen noodle, dry noodle mix. It was something like that.
I'm waiting for the gas needs to go down day.
That's every day.
We need the prices at the pump to drop day.
Please. We were almost at $6 at a gas station I was driving by yesterday.
Gosh.
I almost wept.
Anyway, we're broadcasting live. You can listen to us on KCNR1460.com. We're streaming live all over the world, and you can listen to the archive. I've got a couple of quick announcements here. One is there's a meeting of the Freedom Coalition. It is at 621 Twin View Boulevard at the Hillside Church, and that will be Thursday night at 6 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification. It may sound complicated, but it's not. We're going to talk about basically people who are in office, what jurisdiction they have, what they can really do, how we can understand the law, and how we can protect ourselves from any kind of government overreach. So it's going to be a great evening, about an hour long, and it should be very, very good. I'm here with Baron Browning.
Morning.
And Baron, how you doing, Baron?
Good, sir.
He's running for District 5 supervisor. So, Baron, how are you? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm good. It's a good Sunday morning. It's beautiful outside. I wish we had rain, of course, but here we are. So born and raised in Oregon, graduated from a very small high school in Oregon outside of John Day called Dayville High School. My graduating class was 6.
Really?
Yeah. Logging was the big thing there back in that day. So logged a couple summers. Did brush one summer and then logged the next summer and realized that's probably not my gig. So went off to college and then joined the Marine Corps and ended up getting a job with a recycling company and spent 16 years with the in the recycling world for a couple different companies. Ended my career with Budweiser in the recycling world. So in 2011, InBev bought out Budweiser and some of us didn't have a job anymore. So, by that time my wife, by the way, I'm married and have 3 kids, 2 boys and a girl. Our daughter is a senior. She's the youngest. She goes to Foothill High School, big FFA ag girl. So we appreciate her and all she's doing and where her life will go for sure. And, 2011, we had moved back here by then. My wife is born and raised in Anderson and graduating Anderson and Simpson College. And actually worked for Simpson Paper Mill at one time.
Oh.
So she's definitely a born and raised.
I remember them.
Yeah, Shasta County girl for sure. So she said in 2004, she said, we're moving home. So we ended up moving to Anderson and ended up building a house and where we still live today. So, yeah. And then 2011, I took a year off after Budweiser and got involved with Rotary and different things within the city of Anderson and different groups, and really started getting involved. And back then, Norma Komnick, if you remember Norma, still miss that lady dearly, definitely a great mentor to me, said you should run for office. In the meantime, I had taken over Spherion, which is a staffing company, And so talked over with my wife, prayed about it, and said, you know what, we definitely can make a difference. My wife was saddened by really the downturn in Anderson at that point. So thought we could make a difference and ran and ended up, I think I won by 38 votes.
Wow.
You know, what a number. And not very well known, actually, back then. And what a transformation, the five of us council people, and there's been different ones in my now 8 years. But what a transformation those five people, or us five people, have, along with staff, have made a difference in Anderson with all the different ordinances and that we put into place for homelessness and different items that we've done along the way to really transform Anderson. We also got a half cent sales tax back in the day, right? And there was two parts to the half cent sales tax. So the first part was, do you want it? Yes. And number two is, if you want it, there was a couple items on there, what would you like done with it? So 50% has to go to public safety, and the other 50%, at least 50% to public safety. We actually use more than that. I think we are about 65% of that is actually public safety. Back then we had 12 sworn officers. Today we have 24. Mm-hmm. So we've doubled sworn officers, which I went on a ride-along. I'll tell you this story really quick. I went on a ride-along while I was running, and actually went with back then K-9 officer Halligan. And we ended up getting in this chase, didn't know much about the gentleman other than, you know, we were in this chase and go through town, and ended up on the opposite side of where we started in town in a subdivision. And the gentleman, and I had never been on a ride-along, so it's already pretty cool, right? But we ended up on this ride-along. He slams on his brakes. He's in a full-size pickup, and we're in a Crown Vic. He then puts it in reverse and backs up on our hood. So in my world, in my head, it looked completely different probably than it actually was. But being a first timer, it seemed to like go in super slow motion, and it seemed like that it was really coming right at my head. It wasn't, but in my head, that's the way I pictured it, and it, completely scary, to me. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part for me was there was a sergeant behind us. The only two on duty is K-9 Officer Halligan and Sergeant Miller. So they're in a battle with this guy, and he was probably 6 foot six and huge. He was probably 300 pounds.
Wow.
And wasn't fat. I mean, he was just a big guy. And, by the way, that was his fifth DUI. But anyway, the battle was on.
We need a jail.
Right. So at the end of it, you look at it and you go, What's next? So we literally spent 3.5 hours there while CHP came and did their investigation. And all I could think of was there's no one protecting our town. Like, both officers on duty. The town is now empty with no help. There's a deputy roaming the area, but if he got a call, which he did, now there's nobody, you know, really to protect our citizens in our city. And I just said, you know what, we have to do something different. And I don't know what that looks like at that point, but we have to do something different. And then the half cent sales tax came up, and, you know, now the rest is history. But one thing I want to tell you is that being an elected official, it's really important to me that we are held accountable, right, for that. The citizens gave us that money to do something with, and the 50% plus needs to go to public safety. And we made sure that happened right from the get-go. Before we even got the money, we all voted, yes, start hiring, start hiring, start hiring. We can't have our town without law enforcement. And the crime was, you know, what seemed to be huge back then for us, has slowly dwindled, where Chief Johnson really became proactive in our
town. Do you think the ordinances had anything to do with that?
I think a lot of our ordinances.
Can you be a little more specific?
Sure. No camping in the city of Anderson. No overnight camping anywhere in the city of Anderson. You can't panhandle in the city of Anderson. Now, I do want you to understand that the panhandling ordinance is a wild one, because that's one we took on where we had to like really look at the law and go what we can and can't
right.
do, because there was a lawsuit that says that's freedom of speech for them. If you remember back in the day, whether you
yes.
agree or disagree, it was ruled that that is the law. And so what we really had to do was look at it from a different perspective. And thank goodness for Chief Johnson and his officers working with them to come up with, well, hey, that's a moving violation. Once the person stops the car in the road and blocks traffic, gives them the money, both parties can now be cited. So that's really the approach we took with the panhandling ordinance. And let me tell you, it works. People don't give money, and there's
how did it work with the camping? We have a real issue in the city of Reading with that. How did
well, we looked at it from a different perspective. We went and had great meetings with Jonathan Anderson from the Good News Rescue Mission. Mm-hmm. And what the way the law stated was, you if you don't have any place for them to go, and it or it's full, then you have to let that happen. And so we talked to Jonathan Anderson. He said, well, we're not even 50% full. And so at that point, we're like, well, until we get to that point, this is going to be the ordinance. And we really, like, we just nail them on that. And there's a couple different parts of the law. So when we go out, when our officers go out and encounter a person in the city that's camping in our city or doing all of those things, it's really one of those things where we have to get them a letter by law stating, here's where all the services are. You have to give them 3 days to leave. But that's the only time you have to give them that. Mm-hmm. Once it's registered, mm-hmm. and then it's called in and it's registered with 911 dispatch, hey, we've given them this. It then is logged that person has been given that paperwork and told, hey, we can help you get services. Now, in all my times, this is my 8th year, 2 wanted services.
You know, we face a different time now, and I did want to mention to the folks, if you have a question or a comment that you'd like to ask of Baron, it's 530-605-4567.
He always gives his own phone number.
Yes. I have 4 different phone numbers at my home, so I get a little mixed up, you know.
No problem.
Got to wake up here. 605-4567, 530-605-4567, if you have a question. And one thing I think that we should be looking at and talking about is the fact that, you know, the city of Anderson is different than being on a board of supervisors. It's a whole different animal. Right now, with gas going up 50, 60 cents in the last couple of days, 70. It's going to be tough to ask people for money. There was a time when you could do it there, and it was spent the right way. The issues we have is some of the transparency that we have as far as the board of supervisors. What would you change as a sitting supervisor as far as transparency goes and really, you know, some real changes you'd like to see made? And not, with all due respect, not a platitude, but basically, what is a real change?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the one thing about it is that when we're doling out money to these different departments, when they come before us, why, in my opinion, come back and give us an update of where that is and what it was spent on and the success or not success of that. That's really important that we get those updates. We get regular updates from PD on what they're doing with the money that we're doling out to them, and I expect the same at the county level. And so I think that's a big thing. And I, you know, it might be done in some small parts of that at the county level now, but when we're doling out that kind of money, we would like to know what the success rate is.
That's a program audit.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Where they come and give us a breakdown of, hey, you gave us this much money for this program. Here's the success of it. Here's what we're doing. Here's the stats. Here's how much money we spent.
Actually, it even goes a little bit deeper than that. When you have a program audit, what it does is it takes each thing line by line if you need them or not, and if they were spent on what they were said to be spent for. Now,
well, they would get that.
Let me just land my plane. Okay, so when you have a forensic audit, that can be used in court, and a lot of people have been throwing around the forensic audit, but the purpose of a forensic audit after a program audit is the fact that you can use both of those in a court of law. And I think that's why there's been a lot of angst on the county side. Not to say you're going to use it, but because of the nature of the information, it can be, and a lot of times those are done so that it can be shown as far as legality goes. If there's money that's not being spent the way it should be, you now have consequences, not just, hey, we need to change that, but there's consequences.
Sure. And I couldn't agree more. You need both of those audits done and for those departments to be looked at. And if they're doing great, awesome. Thank you. If they're struggling, maybe they don't have enough employees, maybe they have too many, maybe the caseload's too heavy, maybe it's too light. But you get that from those things. And sure, you can understand, and you as a, or the CAO can then go back and start making changes that need to be made from a department side based on that information. And that information should be brought back and shared with the supervisors and then the public in general, right? You should get all of that information.
The supervisors should be, see, one of the challenges we've had of late with the supervisors is they, when they do the budget, which I think we should have a zero-based balanced budget because, and they don't, and they used to. And the reason you need to have that is sometimes you have somebody like probation who's carrying over $2 million into the next year. Well, you know, you're always looking for money and people say you need a jail. So when you have a situation like that, really it is up to the, Board of Supervisors to look through the budget as awful as it is and as many pages as it is. And I know they used to spend as much as 2 to 3 weeks looking at it. The last time that this recent board approved a budget, it took them 5 minutes. Even though one of them, probably two of them, had done some studying on exactly what was in the budget and had gone for a couple of weeks and made notes and stuff, the whole thing was done in 5 minutes. So I think that the accountability has to go to the supervisor, not so much in the staff. We can't blame a staff who works for somebody for not being overseen by the supervisors.
Very interesting. Yeah, we just did our midterm in Anderson, and the discussion, I think, lasted 25 minutes.
Wow.
And that was just the midterm. And there was just, that was just a huge overview of that. And so, I can't even imagine it only taking 5 minutes.
Well,
at that
that's
level.
Not my point. My point is that even 25 minutes isn't enough. Because if you're not going, if you don't have an audit, a programmable audit, that leads into a forensic audit, again, that can be used legally.
Well, you understand that the week before, we just had the audit. And so there's an audit committee, and so the
what kind of audit was it? Was it just a basic audit?
Basic audit. Yeah.
Okay, well that just means you had $300,000, and everything adds up to $300,000.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So,
but we have an audit committee, and that audit looks over, you know, the entire budget from that the year before, and what was spent, what's not spent, where it went, where it didn't go, you know, how much money we have left over, what's our reserves, and we passed, you know, years ago. I think it was my first year. We passed at that point. We were at 10% reserves. Near broke, right, for the city of Anderson. Hmm. And today we're at almost 30%, and our goal is 25 to 35%. That's our goal. And if you're over that, then we start spending down with things that need to happen. If you saw just recently, we're redoing all of Ventura Street. And so that's been needed for a long time. It's a thoroughfare. It goes right to I-5, right?
Yep.
And so that's now having curb gutter sidewalk. It's never had, you know, a new street will be put in. That's what you do with your money. We've put, you know, a couple $1 million into the park over the last, you know, few years to beautify that park, put in some extra bathrooms. We put in the splash pad this past summer. Really things that are free to the public. The city's obviously paying for it, but we're giving that money back that they gave us, and some of that's spent out of the half-cent sales tax as well. So not Ventura Street, but the other for sure.
Now, what's your stand on a new jail? Where do you fall on that?
Absolutely, yeah. I was very disappointed when we gave it back. I think I was in office 2 years at that point with the city of Anderson. And I was very disappointed we gave back the $30 million for the new jail. And I did not agree with why we gave it back, that it requires more people. Because if you look at today's world and just the way it's evolved and how jails are made today and the electronics and everything that we have today, you actually need less. And so even if you're a bigger jail, I don't see it taking, you know, any more people. Now, I'm not Sheriff Johnson, so I don't want to speak for him. I'm just saying, from looking from the outside in a simple Google search, that's all I did. Mm-hmm. Simple Google search, and what does it look like today? You have these huge pods and, you know, all these inmates in there, and you can let them out in pockets. So, yeah, they have to have their 30 minutes of lunch or whatever. There's requirements by law, whether you agree or disagree, but you can let out one-third of them for this 30 minutes and then put them back in the next one-third, the next one-third. So the correctional officers are not in, you know, jeopardy with only one-third.
Sure.
Versus, you know, all of them being out. So, I disagreed with it just from an overview, and, again, I know, you know, this much about how to run a jail. Which, by the way, I'm saying 1 inch. So, you know, but
we're on camera this.
Okay. So yeah, I absolutely believe in new jail. And I was listening to the last segment a little bit, and I definitely agreed with them about mental health. I think that, and I think Sheriff Johnson would agree with you. I've heard him speak about it, and we all agree on the same thing, that there needs to be a separate area for the mental health side, so that can really be covered by those professionals on mental health. Just sticking them in jail is not solving our problems for 30 days with no medication, no, they're not being looked at in any fashion, and not given a plan. And then them getting turned over to mental health after when they're going to leave, and what's that look like?
Well, you know, the whole thing is that we're really skipping around the elephant in the room. That is, we have 300, according to RPD and the Sheriff's Department, we have around 300 criminals that keep getting locked up, sent back, locked up. In fact, in the last program, somebody was just talking about somebody having five DUIs, you know?
Right.
It's like, you know, good heavens. So you're looking at these 300 that are out there. We really don't have any place to put them. And it is a fact that approximately 80% of the people that are homeless are on drugs.
Yep.
Okay, so the elephant in the room is the drugs. Okay, so really and truly.
I think it's blaring. I don't know if it's an elephant or not, but it's hugely blaring.
Yes, sir. Well, whatever. I think it might be a big elephant. But,
yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, that's the deal. Nobody wants to talk about that, and I find that interesting. Now, Chief Paletti used to talk about it all the time. And the thing that's interesting about that is that if you have that being the reason, and you can put those guys behind bars, maybe people like the Rescue Mission that deal with a lot of people with mental health, probably most of them have mental issues, but they do it through a private and a religious, spiritual type of method, along with rules and accountability, et cetera. You know, the health center all sounds good, but I think the jail needs to come first, and I don't think you can put them together. We do have a caller on the line. Linda, what say you?
I want to know what happened to the old jail in Anderson from the 50s and 60s.
That little jail is still there, and I think it holds one.
Oh,
it's a mini.
It's definitely a mini, and it's actually that little parcel right there is actually owned by the county now, and they maintain it and keep it because it's historical.
Cool.
Well, on top of that, it was right next to the railroad tracks when they built it. So I figured anybody that got in that jail wanted to get out fast because the railroad train went by.
they could just hop a car, yeah.
No, they couldn't hop a car. They just drove them nuts by listening to it.
No, I meant a railroad car, not a regular car.
Oh, yeah. No, we used to have a constable when I first moved there.
Oh, back in the day? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the constable had to call the sheriff's department.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because there was a time when we felt like we were not getting our fair shake in Anderson, and we actually talked about bringing in a judge just for some of our stuff within Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Well, at the time, we only had two stinkers.
Oh, two stinkers?
Yeah. Well, hey, Linda, what do you think about a new jail? What do you think about that?
Oh, a brand new one?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on the radio, aren't I?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think it would be fantastic.
Ah, okay.
I think a new jail would be fantastic. You getting a judge there would be fantastic. But like I said, when I lived there, or I grew up there, we only had two stinkers in town.
Well, we got a few more than two. We got 300 they're trying to keep it away.
Yeah. I think she's talking about Anderson, though.
Yeah, she is talking about Anderson.
Yeah. But, you know, we had two stinkers that always got into trouble.
There you go.
So we always knew who did the crime. They broke into the theater, they did it.
Did they end up moving to Cottonwood, or?
No, they ended up in Julian, probably in prison.
Linda, thank you so much for your call.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, so getting back to the jail thing, I know that a lot of it has been about the money, but, you know, Chief Johnson and Joe Comente, which I found interesting, wanted to do Measure A, which kind of went down in flames, and I think it was because of the money, and it really wasn't explained well, and the jail really wasn't a big part of that, a very minuscule part of that. The rehabilitation center, or whatever you want to call it, the health center, whatever.
Life center, whatever they call it.
Life center, whatever you want to call it. Okay, it was going to cost money. Right now we're looking at times where money is extremely tight. Now, Joe Comente, who was for wanting to take a lot of government money, taking the government money, the $34 million that had a lot of strings attached to it, up to 2026, last week at the Board of Supervisors said we can find the money for a jail. So somehow he had a kind of Jesus moment, and we can now find money for the jail. So I want to go into a little bit more about that. You did talk about law enforcement. I know you have a very good connection with law enforcement. I'd like to talk about that, but we're going to go off to our first break, and here we go, my dear. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
People ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io. Or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Ashley, did Sally send that song in?
That's right. Power to the people.
Sally Lou. Well, we're back. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. We're here with Darren Browning, who's running for supervisor in District 5 here in Shasta County. If you have a question or a comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567. Darren, we were talking about... You know, you've talked a lot about crime. I know you have a close association with the police in Anderson. You've done a lot of different things there. Quick question. That question is, how do we get these 300 people off the street? And it's countywide. This is not just in the city of Reading.
Yeah, I mean, that's a difficult question because you're dealing with sure. another agency. And so a lot of our stuff that happens right here in Reading. Mm-hmm. And that has to be dealt with by the Reading City Council. Not that we can't enact things on...
The sheriff has jurisdiction over crime, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Richards County, go ahead.
Yeah. He absolutely does. But we've got to enact ordinances similar to what we did in Anderson and say those things aren't okay, you know. Squatting, you know, RVs on the side of the road. I see them all over the place. Yep. You know, the one thing I found out in dealing with some of this recently was we have one code enforcement for the county. Did you know that? Who knew? Like, because I've helped a couple of people with some county issues, with squatters being next to them, and that affects their quality of life. That's not okay. Sorry, I think we have a caller.
Yeah, we have two callers actually. Author, how are you, my son?
Good. How you doing, Terry?
I'm doing good. What say you? You have a question for Baron?
Yeah, I was just calling in because I deal a lot with healthcare, and I wanted to know. What, as a new supervisor, what you would do about our current HHS and public health? The biggest thing being is transparency and collaboration. During the pandemic, there wasn't very much of that, and a lot of the community were not informed. Not that the people there didn't care, just they don't know how to market. They don't know how to get their information out there, and so it's really inefficient. And I would like to know how we can. The next pandemic's going to come in the next 10 or 20 years. What are we going to do about that so we can make our public health system more efficient for our community?
Well, I appreciate the call. And I definitely appreciate the question. Health and Human Services is an interesting one. That money's funneled in, obviously, by the feds and the state. They definitely need a PIO so they can get that information out there. I couldn't agree more, so that the public is informed of what's going on. So I definitely agree with that. But we also need, and it goes back to earlier when Terry and I were speaking about just understanding what each department's doing and looking at that department and see what's effective. And I don't mean just effective from that department. We also need to understand when we're giving money to a third party for whatever their services that we're giving them money for, how are they doing? How are they squaring up to the rest of the nation? Like, are they doing a good job? Are we getting our, best bang for our buck? Or do we need to relook at it and go with somebody else? I mean, we don't even know that. So until we do an actual audit on the department itself and what its services are and what the third party services are doing and how much money is being spent for who, and what that dollar should average nationwide, how can we understand what our issue is?
So you're,
and where we're going.
So you're open for a forensic audit?
Absolutely.
Okay, just making sure we get clear on that.
I can give you an example. Recently at this last board meeting, they said that they spend $3 million on our current 1,300 mental health patients. So normally at a current practice, a nurse practitioner or a doctor has 2,500 to 3,000 patients they see on their reoccurring regular patient panel. So 1,300 is much lower than a regular doctor sees, and they have 5 clinicians and a nurse practitioner. So to me, just listening to that, it seemed very inefficient, but I'm glad you're looking into that to see what programs we need to do or what programs we need to cut if they're not efficient, because it seems just as a business person or a medical person, that is like a waste of dollars if you're spending $4 million on 1,300 people with 6 clinicians, when normally only one clinician would see twice as many people a year.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if I could compare it to a regular doctor, because I don't know what the national average is, and so I'm not gonna step out there and go, that's either good or bad.
With all due respect, we've got to forget about the national average. What we have to do is look at Shasta County. I mean, basically,
you have to have a baseline of something.
Yeah, well, you do. We have a baseline. We pay for where we are. We pay half our county budget to HHS. So does that fall in line with every other county in the state? I don't think so.
Yeah, but you also got to understand that money is funneled through to us. It's not like
we have jurisdiction over who runs it.
Absolutely. I'm not disagreeing whatsoever. I'm just saying that money's funneled into us by the state and federal government, and
but
so
we allocate. We can also have a programmable audit, and then a forensic audit. So if something is being
done, and we're agreeing on that.
Well, no, let me just finish. That is that once we do that, what would happen is that those two audits are able to be used in the legal system, so that if there is prosecution, there's ramifications. That's why we want a forensic audit, and that's actually the definition one. Arthur, we got to go, buddy, because we have Josh on the other line. Thank you for the questions. They were great. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, thanks.
Josh, what say you, sir?
Sure. Hello. So I have a question. My question is that back on the subject of the adding jail space, what are they doing with the old courthouse? And what if they're talking about building a new jail, wouldn't we be better served rehabbing the old courthouse and turning that into just additional jail space?
Yeah, that would probably be a question for someone that's designing, not me. Not that it can't be used. I don't know. Someone would have to look at it and go, yeah, it's efficient or it's not efficient by the way it stands.
Right. Right. But, I mean, just do you have any idea what they're planning on doing with the old courthouse? They got that new Taj Mahal.
I do not know. No, I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Josh. Melissa, how are you today, and what say you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Morning.
This is Melissa. Hey, I had a question for Mr. Browning. On the website, on your website, it says that you want to, darn it, I just lost it. The political polarization is something that has grounded our Board of Supervisors' effectiveness to getting anything done and solving anything in this county. If that is something that you're interested in solving, I'd like to know how you're going to address political polarization, which, as we all know, is at an all-time high right now.
Absolutely. Thank you for the question. I would tell you that coming into Anderson, we've had some of those same issues. And it's just really understand that you can have great, healthy discussions up there and not agree. And that's okay. Because the one thing I know and I learned from Norma and many mentors before me is that when I'm angry, I'm not listening. Mm-hmm. And so when I just be calm and listen to every word that everybody's saying, whether you're getting up there and speaking your 3 minutes or it's another council person or it's staff, listen to the whole scenario and don't make a decision about the outcome until you've heard it all. And that helps you come to that outcome and make a good call that best serves the people. And I don't mean necessarily, and I mean the whole people, right? Because a lot of times we make these rash decisions, and I've watched it, where it affects this little bitty piece, yet, you know, 80% of the population is nullified. And we've got to look at the majority and go, hey, this is serving the majority of the people. And that's how I try to make my decisions when I'm up there listening and talking to people and hearing what they have to say when it comes up on a subject that comes to in front of me now.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa. You. Good question.
Thanks, Melissa.
Dolores, what say you?
Yes, I have maybe two or three questions. First question is, I'd like Mr. Browning to explain how you connected with our law enforcement family members. And then the other one is, are you any way connected with McConnell Foundation? And the other question is, how many other positions are you holding on that is like nonprofit organization?
Okay, the first one, I don't think we quite understood what you wanted. We kind of just...
I'm sorry.
Okay, what is the first one?
You mentioned something that he had family members in the law enforcement. Is that correct?
No, that's not what he said. He said, just because of my 8 years on the city council, I understand our department very well.
Okay, I see. Okay, so are you holding any other positions right now?
I hold a couple for the city of Anderson. So I sit on CERTA, Jasper Regional Transportation Authority, and I also sit in currently the chair of that, and then I'm also the chair of the Airport Land Use Commission. So those are the two seats that I hold for that I'm appointed by the city of Anderson. We all get appointed to some as a council person. And then I also sit on several nonprofits. So I sit on Nation's Finest, which is a veterans organization that help house veterans that are in need. And also help get veterans that are seeking treatment and are ready to go to treatment, and they have to be ready. So let me be clear about, and we talked about this a little bit, you can't force someone to go to treatment. It doesn't work. And speaking from experience from one of my own kids, they've got to want to go. And when they want to go, you're successful. My kid's still sober today 10 years later because of he wanted to go. It worked for him. When I wanted him to go and we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, my wife and I, prior to that, it never worked. And I got great advice from a therapist in the last time that we sent him. And he said, do you know what the problem is, Mr. Browning? And I said, drugs? And he said, no, you. Whoa. That is a brick, like to the head. Like, I was forcing my will upon my child. And once I stopped doing that and held him accountable for his actions, then he made the decision that his life was, you know, he needed to change his lifestyle. But I had to back away. I had to walk away and go, I love you, but here's my boundary.
Tough love, man.
Yes, very much tough love. And it worked. And not because I wanted it to work. It worked because he wanted it to work.
Which is the key to all of that.
Absolutely.
What were you saying,
have
Dolores?
Have you ever recused yourself, right now, while you sit on the city council in Anderson, have you ever recused yourself for any issues regarding conflicts?
Oh, yes. Yeah, probably 10 times. So apparently I run a staffing company, and so some of those people that come in are my clients, and I recuse myself.
There you go.
What do you run?
What was that?
Staffing?
Yeah, staffing company.
Staffing.
Yeah, employment agency.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I have no problem recusing myself. I go and have a conversation with the attorney. I make sure that I'm seeing it correctly. And when he agrees, I recuse myself. And I've actually recused myself once when he thought it was a gray area. And I still recuse myself because I didn't want there to be anything out there whatsoever. If it's even close, not going to do it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay,
thank you, Dolores.
You know,
you were talking about how, I know I heard this from Joe Comente several times. He was talking about, hey, I do this serving the whole community. When he's looking at 200 people that made the effort to go there, that came away from work, a lot of them came from work. A lot of them, especially when Modi cut it back to 45 minutes in the public comment, couldn't speak. And I think that most of us get tired of the situation of hearing that, we serve the whole community. Well, the community that cares and the community that's vocal is the community that really cares. And it's nice to see people come into meetings. What would you say to at least one night meeting a month?
Oh, absolutely. All of our meetings are at night in Anderson.
Well, that's city council, yes.
I understand.
Yeah.
But my point's still the same.
No,
And that, I have no problem going to a night meeting.
Okay. And I think that, we've heard that from every single candidate, and we've done everybody. We still have Colt Roberts to do.
Yep.
But we've done the other districts and everything. And, looks like you got another caller. Do we have another caller here?
Called on the business line, so I told him to call back so we can route him through.
Okay. Anyway, you're getting as many calls as Kevin Cry did. Anyway, so, I think the thing is that,
But that's why you listen, and I appreciate your comment. That's why we listen to every comment, and we listen.
Well, the telephone calls weren't so bad when they had those in because people could actually call in and ask a question if they weren't there, which took away the excuse, you got a 10-minute break, go call in. The only other thing about the call-in that was a little bit difficult was the fact that if you're going to do that, you should do it after the public comment of the people that are there that are paying for parking, that have to get back to work, and then take the people on the
I know several times I was worried about getting a ticket because I was parked in the garage, honestly.
I worry about that every single time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I fed a meter that was broken. We have Bruce on the line. Bruce, what say you?
Yeah, I had a question for Mr. Browning. How does he feel about the Second Amendment? In particularly open carry, which is allowed in like 45 other states, it's very important. I think everybody should be allowed open carry, in my opinion. And secondarily, what about a constitutional amendment for the county like they did in the city of Oroville? And I'll take my answer off the air.
And what?
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce.
Which constitution amendment did they do?
No, he's talking about the Second Amendment. How do you feel about
changing it to open carry? Gotcha. Yeah, thank you. First of all, I'm definitely a Second Amendment guy. I'm wearing my Browning shirt today.
Okay.
Not just because it has my name on it, but it does help, right?
At the end of the day.
And in open carry, I would refer back to the sheriff and what he sees as the danger and not the danger. And personally, I haven't asked him about it.
I was getting it yesterday,
too, from a gentleman that was at the Sport and RV show. He's
running
around. Because Mr. Beard's got a lawsuit, correct?
Beard.
Yeah, he's got a lawsuit filed for open carry. Yeah.
Well, that's for the entire state.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah, yeah.
And let me explain that to you really quick, because I know the sheriff's position. Actually, I sat down with him, and Katie Gorman and I sat down with him for about an hour and a half. You know that concealed carry is not a right. It's a permit. It's a permission. It's a privilege.
Correct.
Okay.
I understand.
However, in any county under 200,000 people, you can issue, as the sheriff, a 26-150-B2 open carry permit. Now, I asked the sheriff about that. He said, I'm a Second Amendment guy. This is Sheriff Johnson. He said, I'm a Second Amendment. I believe in the right of the Second Amendment. I said, okay. He said, but I will not allow an exposed weapon. So my question is, how can you talk about a right and say that you believe in a right, and then say you won't allow? You don't have jurisdiction to allow anything if it's a right. You have no jurisdiction. So, and I asked
him. And did he state why?
because it would make his officers nervous and he'd get too many phone calls and his officers would have to run somewhere. So what you're saying is that you're going to disallow a constitutionally protected right that 45 other states have. And even though you have a loophole with a 26-150B2 open carry permit, which you can do, that you won't allow it? How do the other 45 states cope with open carry? So that's a training issue. And the other question I asked him, and I said, well, basically, when you issue a concealed carry permit, why couldn't you issue a 26-150B2 at the same time? Because if you're issuing a concealed carry permit, okay, what you're saying is that basically you don't want that weapon to be seen. What if your coat comes open? You know, what if you raise your arms up and you're fat and you're all of a sudden your gun is showing? And his particular comment was, well, you know, that's just something that we'd have to deal with. And I said, well, basically, isn't it about the discernment that you learn of when to use the weapon? Wouldn't it be about the discernment of when you use the weapon, not how you carry it? Because that's the bottom line. But it was kind of disturbing because we're hearing a lot of people saying they're for the Second Amendment. Well, the Second Amendment, it basically is what 45 states have. We don't have that here, and I like your thoughts on that because it's a little strange that you'd have somebody saying they're for the Second Amendment, but they won't allow.
I would have to sit down and talk with him. I don't know why I don't know what his issues are.
That's his issue, and that's okay. So what I'm saying, that is his issue. That's what he said. So I'm saying, what do you think? Because we have a resolution coming to the Board of Supervisors about being a sanctuary Second Amendment county.
Right.
So my question is, how would you look at that? And how can you refer a right to a sheriff who doesn't have the right to take a right from you?
I don't know that he doesn't have the right.
He doesn't have the right.
Well, he does it now.
He doesn't have the right to do it. That's why we're in court.
Okay. Yeah. I would have to sit down and talk with him about it at the end of the day.
Well, we do have an election for sheriff coming up, and there's John Green's also running. If in fact we did have a situation where we have where we had a board of supervisor retiring, that could go to the board for a vote, and I'd like to get your take on that. But before I do, let's go to Nick. Nick, what say you?
Hey, good morning, Baron. After you mentioned about your son having to hit bottom and want rehab himself for it to work, I would think that you would be against building a jail and a navigation center together and separate the two, because that just justifies my thoughts that a judge can't sentence you to rehab and expect you to clean up. So would you be in favor of separating those two? I'd like to see the county get out of the rehab business.
Yeah, I do believe, though, that if you structure the law the way it is, we have to give them that option of help under the law. And so, and again, I would just tell you that my son, the reason he got sober, or not the reason, I mean, he obviously wanted it, but he got sober, or decided to get sober, continue to get sober, while he was in jail, after he dried out for 6 months.
The way I understand your answer is we have to give them the option. That, to me, indicates that the criminal's giving him is picking his sentence.
Here's my problem, though, with sending them out, and I do know this by my own experience, is that they can't hold them, though. And so when you send a person from jail who's being held, and then you send them to the private sector because they decide they want treatment, the treatment center can't hold them. If they want to walk out, they get to. And that's my problem with when you go to the private side once you send them over there, they can just walk away. And then they're back on the street doing the same thing over and over again. And I'm not saying they would all do that. I'm just saying that, you know, that's my personal position.
You know, we've got criminals out there doing that right now.
Absolutely.
Get them in jail.
Right.
But the fact is, when you sentence them to rehab, when they get done with rehab, they're going right back to their old lifestyle because it wasn't their idea to go to rehab. So what I'm trying to say is I favor getting the judicial system out of the social system
and
just concentrate on locking up the criminals. And we don't need a 10-story fancy jail. We can do a 1-story for sentenced criminals and teleconferencing, arraignments, and that kind of stuff.
Hey, Nick, we do have somebody else on the line. I'm not trying to cut you off, brother.
On, and have a great day.
You bet.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
Steve, what say you?
Hey, is this
talking to me. I couldn't hear the radio station at all the whole time I was on hold.
Okay, that's the way it is.
You're on now. Yeah, you're
live.
You're live now, and I think the other line's been cleared. Go ahead.
All right. The Second Amendment, there is no...
You're kind of breaking up, Steve. Can you fix your phone? Because we can't hear you, brother.
Really, really.
I think we're losing him.
Instill back to the people again is that you cannot give us the right to...
Steve, you're breaking up. We can't.
You'll have to call back.
You'll have to call back, but you got to do it quick. We only got 5 minutes, but we cannot hear you. If you want to call back, we'll take your call. That was a pretty interesting, here he is probably. Let's see.
No dead time.
No dead time. No dead time.
No dead time.
No dead time. No dead time.
Okay, so you're in favor of a jail. A new jail or an additional jail. We don't even have to get rid of the one we have. We can keep what we have and build another as well, and they can figure out ways of separating the incarcerated.
My only problem with that is that this one is so inefficient, and we're continually dumping more money into it for...
What are the inefficiencies?
Well, it's not up to code, and so the county is, the way I understand it, I'm not in there, so I only know so much, they're consistently getting sued because it's not ADA compliant. And so with a new jail, you're not re-spending that money all the time. They're constantly doing ADA upgrades. And with a new jail, you don't have, one, you gain efficiency from not as many officers, and then two, you eliminate that ADA issue altogether.
So is the ADA requirements too restrictive and too much for us to have to comply with? That's why I'm saying if we had a secondary location as well, then that would be built to the ADA compliance.
You can, and they are doing those things. The cost is so high, though, you'd probably be more efficient financially just to go ahead and build the new one versus continually upgrading the old one, which...
Well, that's why I'm saying don't have to upgrade. I mean, you're going to have people that...
You will have to upgrade, though.
...to go into the jail that don't have to have ADA compliance. You and I don't have to worry about that. We're able-bodied. We're physically able to do things. We can see. We can hear. Those are the people that you put in that jail, right?
But attorneys don't look at it like that.
Well, they have to fight back.
I know, but attorneys look at it like, well, that part's not ADA compliant, even if there's nobody in that
section. You're talking about our county attorney, because that's who'd have to look at it. But yeah, tell us where we can get information for you, brother, and
sure.
All that good stuff. Tell us about how they can get a hold of you, what your website is, et cetera, because we only have about 2 minutes left. So,
right. Yeah.
Ben, I'm sorry, but we only got 2 minutes left, and we need to give this to
Barron,
Mr. Browning. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure. VoteForBarron.com is my website, and you can get all my information on there.
Pretty simple.
As well.
Vote for Barron. Spell Barron for everybody.
Oh, Baron.
There you
not
go.
Two R's, just one.
There you go.
Like Trump's son, Baron.
Okay.
And I'm so pleased that Trump named his son after me, so I'm very proud of that. So we all should be, right?
There you go.
Just kidding. So voteforbarron.com, and I so appreciate the time with you guys, and I look forward to this path. I look forward to serving the people, just like I've served in Anderson for the last 8 years. And I would just tell you that we've made a huge difference in Anderson because we did work together. And again, we didn't always agree, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Healthy discussions are good. We had them today.
Yeah.
You sit here and we don't always, the three of us don't always agree.
Right.
That's okay, but they were great discussions.
Yeah, sure.
That's what we have in Anderson, and that's what I'd like to bring to the county. I'm one that, typically doesn't get flustered. I'm very much forward thinking. Like, I tell my daughter this all the time. I make decisions because in 40 years, I don't want you and my grandkids looking back and go, what the heck was Grandpa thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I do that with some of the stuff we did back in the day in
yep.
Anderson, where I look at it and I go, what were we thinking? Right.
Yeah.
And don't make, when you do that, you've made a rash decision because of
right.
the moment. And I think we made a lot of decisions back in the day, including the county level, because we didn't have enough money. And so we just made the decision
right.
to blurp without looking ahead and going, well, if we would have spent that extra $10,000 or $10 million or whatever it was, we wouldn't have this issue 20 years from now.
Right.
And so we've got to look at that in a heavy way. And I look forward to delving into all the departments, seeing what they're all doing. Hopefully help fixing those departments. And I mean the planning department in particular.
Perfect. Well, this has been Barron Browning. He is running for supervisor for District 5. Barron, thank you very much.
Yes,
thanks for having me.
Good interview. And Yeah, a lot of phone calls, buddy.
Yeah, I liked it. I appreciated all of them.
You're going to cry, I'll tell you. All righty, well, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.